A righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We bless your name. We thank you for you a moment like this. Thank you for helping us to be gathered once again in your presence. We thank you a lot for how you've been helping us in our daily activities. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you a lot for your power upon us. Lord, we pray, we ask you, O God, that as we look into your word, we pray that you will bless our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, we are praying, we asking, oh God, that as many that will that attend in this today's program, I pray that you will visit them and you'll bless their lives in Jesus' name. Open our eyes of understanding that we may know the best way to walk closer with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that your presence, oh Lord, will abide with us, and you will open our heart to receive your word and let your word perform the purpose to which it will be delivered today in our hearts, in our lives, and let it impact our life positively in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know it is done. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the Lord is helping us, there is a need for us to as well strengthen ourselves and educate ourselves about the knowledge of the Word of God, to nourish ourselves, to nourish our mind, to nourish our soul, our spirit. And of course, we considered quite a few things last time here. On the subject, a closer walk with God. And we discussed about two main things there. The truth, which is a personality, which talks about God, and the spirit, which talks about the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And we dealt a bit much about the truth the last time, talking about the personality of God and, you know, what exactly is the truth, you know, like Pilate actually asked Jesus Christ when they brought him to, when they brought Jesus Christ to Pilate, and Jesus Christ had a few conversations with him, and he asked Jesus, what exactly is the truth? And then he himself doesn't even know what the truth is. So the truth is referring to the personality of God, who God really is, and his goal for sending Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins, and the goal of making us see the reasons why we should accept Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. And it discussed a bit further about the truth. You know, you remember the passage of scripture in the book of John chapter 4 in verse 24, where the woman at the well was, you know, had a conversation with Jesus, and you know, Jesus Christ actually educated her about, you know, who God really is and how he wants to be worshipped, what the intent of God and how God wants people to see him, you know, that you can only worship him in spirit and in truth. So there is a need for us to understand that perspective, who exactly the truth is, which talks about the personality of God. And Paul, on his way to Damascus, of course, actually encountered Jesus Christ as well. We talked about that. And now Jesus Christ told him that it is hard for him to kick against the pricks. The pricks here simply talks about the truth. The truth is the personality that we cannot get by. We have to know the truth. You will know the truth, and it is only God that can set you free. So it is important for us to understand that, you know, have an idea of what the kingdom actually is all about and what the intention of God in sending Jesus Christ into the world, the goal of God in sending Jesus Christ to him. And we, you know, we consider a few things, many because of a delayed promotion, and they end up in where in places they don't want to end up with. They end up in shrines, and you know, they keep doing evil things just to, you know, gain ascendance and all that. So there are a lot of many as well because of delayed conception, lack of jobs, you know, getting a life partner in life, you know, people want to grow higher, you know, they want to scale up, have headquarters in Netherlands for their, you know, ministry and all that. And then they end up in places they don't like, and, you know, because they are looking for signs and wonders and all that. So there is a lot to discover about the truth, and God's intention is to ensure that Jesus Christ, the goal of sending Jesus is to make us know him more, right? And Christ actually gave us, in his capacity building exercise, actually educated us, you know, a lot about God and his ways, right? The book of Acts chapter 1 in verse 1, when Luke was writing to Theophilus, you know, said the former things have I written unto you, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began to do and to teach. So there is a doing first before there is a teaching. So Jesus Christ was doing those things to let us understand how to live our lives, how to, you know, how to serve God, how to worship God, our essence in the word. So there is a doing first. He began to do those things before he began to teach his disciple how to, you know, live a life that pleases God. Point of fact, we will be looking at who the Spirit is today. And the Holy Spirit actually, you know, in the world today, many wants to get impossible things done, right? Using mental ability and human strength. It's human, right? Actually, you know, to want to, you know, try by your, you know, mental, cerebral power to, I mean, have cerebral ability to, you know, push things around, do things and all that. But I want to tell you, there are some impossible things that cannot be, that you cannot get done, and you need the help of the Holy Spirit. If, as a matter of fact, in summary, the Holy Spirit is actually a spiritual capital that we have today. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no way we can have insight to what God intends for our lives. There is no way we can have, you know, insight into how to overcome some challenges in our lives. And, you know, that's the only capital we have as believers today. The, you know, things like overcoming addiction, incurable disease, overcoming sin. There are so many things going on in the world, and there are questions being asked, even by scientists, that how is this even possible? You see some people go for medical checkup, and then they're saying there's nothing wrong with them, but inside they are sick. They know that they are sick, but it's unexplainable. And there are different scans and things being done to them. They say, go to this, okay, we have the best laboratory here, we have this, you get tested and all that, and still there are no results. So it just shows us that we are insufficient. We are not sufficient of ourselves. We need the help of God to survive this race. We need the help of God to survive on earth. And without the person of the Holy Spirit, there is no way you will have insight to God, for what God wants you to know, to the solution to your problem, to the solution to, you know, the things that happens to us. And we're seeking answers here and there. We travel far and near. We go visit different places, you know, take different things to, you know, just to cure ourselves of you know, go for therapy, go for this, go for that. The answer is truly is in God. There is no other way that we can be saved. There is no other way. There is no other way. So, it's possible a believer in Christ can be frustrated, right, as a result of lack of revelation, because the Christian faith is about a revelation. It's about revelations. If you require an answer to something, you need a revelation. And the only personality that can give you that is the Holy Spirit. And that's a person, that's a spiritual capital that we have today. So we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. which is a personality. And then you say, well, this spirit doesn't exist. It's just, it's just a myth and all that. It's possible you may not have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit before, but I have, right? And to me, the Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is real. So we shouldn't listen to those that are saying, well, some things are not real, some things are real, something. That is, if they want to believe it's not real, that is their problem. If you want to engage the Holy Spirit, or perhaps you have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit before, and you have experienced a walk with the Holy Spirit, to you, it is real. It's just the way the kingdom works, right? If you travel somewhere and then they say, oh, there's something there that is in the bush, and then this and this and that and that. Of course, it's good to throw caution, right? But then there is a need for you. What do you believe? What do you believe? So we are considering the Holy Spirit and the function of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, in the life of a true, sincere seeker of God, right? So it's possible as well for a believer, to deny Christ. Somebody who has been, doing well in the faith and, up and doing and, serving God and very doing well, right, in a Christian faith. And the person just all of a sudden, probably something happened in his or her family, and then the person says, well, I don't really believe this thing again. I think I'm tired. How is this even possible? How would God allow this? It's possible for you to doubt to not believe in the conviction you had before. It's very possible. Why? Because there is no experiential knowledge. If you have an experiential knowledge of the Spirit of God, it's hard for you to deny that it does not exist. If they tell you there is a place like Niagara Falls in Canada, and you see it all on papers or on videos and all that, and people are taking pictures and all that, and say, ah, no, I don't believe this place exists. There are some places in the world that if you see it, you will say, no, this place is only until I see it. Just like Thomas, right? The doubting Thomas. And I said, no, until I see the foot, the nail, the scar of the nail in the leg of Jesus and, on his hand, I will not believe, But when Jesus Christ appeared to him, it was like, my Lord and my God. So it's possible for you to doubt what you first claim and what you believe. Jesus Christ is my Lord and personal Savior. And then all of a sudden, storm came and, persecution and everything. And you could say, it's like, I'm going to renounce my faith. And we've seen people do that. They denounce their faith. That's because they have no experiential knowledge about the God that they serve. They have no experiential knowledge. Because Christianity is experiential. It's something that you can say, this happened to me. And I can tell you that the Spirit of God still works today. There are angels everywhere, helping and strengthening, Christians today. There are so many things happening. Miracles, signs, wonders, different things happening. I mean, it's experiential. But if you have not experienced that, it's hard for you to say there is no Holy Spirit. If you say there is no Holy Spirit, someone else will come and say, I've seen the Holy Spirit before. So that you have not experienced it doesn't mean that the other person has not experienced it. If you have not experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost before, someone else will tell you and say, I was baptized. This is how it happened. This was what did. This so thing happened. These are the events. These are what, someone else experienced. Just like some people say, I've met someone who said, I don't believe, all this spiritual praying and all that until the person got hooked, was in a problem, seeking for a job, seeking for, utter and all that. And the person was told to pray to God and, believe God and, serve God and all that. And then, fall in alignment. you know, with God. And the person started, you know, and started that and believed in Christ, you know, serving God and all that, and, you know, praying always and all that. And all of a sudden, the person fell into a vision. And, you know, in the vision, he saw where the problem of not getting a problem solved is coming from. Right? So, you know, things happen. Right? So it's possible for somebody who is a believer in Christ to say, no, I don't believe this. There was a brother that, you know, during a prayer meeting, he was praying and praying and praying and praying, and then he was praying, but he didn't know that he had gone past a wall. He didn't know he had gone past the wall, because of course there is a wall. They were painting a room, but there was a wall. He went past the wall. He went outside of the wall. He came back into the wall again. And then all of a sudden some people stopped him. They said, do you know you just went past the wall now? He said, no, I don't. He said, you just went past the wall and you came back. He said, no, I don't. I don't believe that. Right? He didn't believe it, but it happened. Then when he tried to go into the world again, then there was a challenge. So it's possible, because you have not experienced it, doesn't mean someone else has not experienced it before. Right? But I want to tell you today that the power of God is real, and the Spirit of God is real. It's a personality. Someone went to the airport and they were about checking, you know, the security at a point where they will scan you and all that, and, you know, to go to the other side, you know. And when the person went through, what the people saw in the computer system was a personality that is like a fire. They told him that he should go back again and come back again. Then he went back, then he came back. That guy did not show up in the system. It was a burning fire that was showing up in the system. This was not seen by one person in the around the security area. It was seen by multiple individuals. So the power of God is real, and the Holy Spirit is a personality. If you have not experienced the Holy Spirit before, I tell you, you have a lot you are missing. And this is an opportunity for you to engage yourself with God. A closer walk with God is experiential, you know. So these are a few things, we are going to be looking at today. And as God will help us, I want you to understand that God is interested in our lives, and He has given us a deposit of the Holy Spirit. As I say, well, I've not experienced the Holy Spirit before. I've not experienced the move of God before. I've not experienced anything about, you know, the power of God coming upon me and all that. And all. It's because you have not believed. You have not believed in Jesus Christ. So, in the kingdom of God, there is an order of things. The power of God will not just come upon you if you don't believe in Christ. You have to accept the person of Christ before you start getting experiential knowledge about how the Spirit of God works, how the Holy Spirit operates, how He, you know, engages us in activities, in what to do, what not to do, you know, register His displeasure concerning what we did the last time, how we spoke to an individual at the office last week, and how we treat our wives, how we treat our daughter, how we, you know, manage the affairs of the family, you know, what we are supposed to do part time to be able to get answers and, you know, resort to certain situation. And, you know, when we begin to engage the Holy Spirit, it begins to educate us. It begins to tell us, okay, this is what to do part time. Okay, I want you to. Haven't you seen somebody who just woke up 12 a.m. in the night, and then something just said, pray. And he said, oh, I'm tired and all that. And he slept again. He woke up around 1 again. And then he didn't know what woke. He just woke up. That is, this personality is a spirit. It's not a physical, it's not It's a personality, it's a spirit, but it's not an everyday personality that you see, that you interface with, like in your office and all that, but it's a personality and it's real. So if you want to engage him, you need to engage him in truth. You need to be a sincere seeker of God. If you're not a true sincere seeker, if you're still living in sin, still fighting, still fornicating, still abusing, still, you know, backbiting, still doing all sort of, you know, evil things and all that, the Holy Spirit cannot work. It's not going to be real in your life. But it's a personality that is real. So, nothing gets done in the kingdom of God without the Spirit of God. Nothing gets done. In the kingdom of God, we doubt the Spirit of God. You remember the book of Acts of Apostles, you know, when Jesus Christ said, told the disciple, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from. He knew the essence of that Spirit. There's nothing. When he wanted to leave the disciple in the book of John, in chapter 15 and 16, thereabout, he told them that when I go, I will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Nothing gets done without the Spirit of God. And you see that in the book of Genesis as well. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, where the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And that was when creation started. That was how creation started, right? So it's just, I'm just telling us that the personality of the Holy Spirit is a spiritual capital designed by God to help us as believers today. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, a believer you won't be able to do anything. You won't. But through the insight of the Holy Spirit, you can cover more grounds. You can even do more. The book of Revelation was written by John the Beloved, right? And, you know, John the Beloved recounts that in Revelation chapter 1, think about 10, said, I was in the Spirit on the last day. In the Spirit of the last day. That revelation would not have come without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus when, you know, came to Jesus, and you know, Jesus Christ was educating him about how to be reborn. It's possible for you to get to be born by human parents, but there should be a rebirth, you know, that happens, right? So you can be born by physical human parents, but there is a reborn that needs to be done. Until that is done, there is no way you can experience the move of God. You cannot experience the personality of the Holy Spirit. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is no way. There is no way. So the Spirit of the Lord is very crucial to our existence in life. Is very, very crucial. Without the Spirit of God, there can be revelation into the things of God. And without the Spirit of God, we are handicapped. We cannot achieve. There can be miracles, there can be signs, there can be wonders, it has to go through the Spirit of God. And that's what Paul the Apostle made us understand as well in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 11 to 16. No man knoweth the things of God save the Spirit of God. No man. You can't gain insights into the revelations of God, into the mind of God without the Spirit of God. So it's important for us to understand how the kingdom of God operates. There is a Father, and there is a Son, and there is the Holy Spirit. They all are one. They walk together. You can, when God said, when the earth in which we live in right now is a project from God. Yes, it's a project from God. And God will not do anything without the knowledge of His Word and His Spirit. They all are one. They work together. You can't leave one and you can't embrace one and leave the other. If you say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior, you are saying that you have now accepted the administration of God in your life, and you've accepted the person of the Holy Spirit as well in your life. That's the reason why somebody who will give his life to Christ is filled with the Spirit of God. Right? So you can't say, I accept Christ, but I don't want to be filled with the Spirit of God. You can't go far. There are things you would not, you know, spiritual things. I mean, the kingdom of God operates as one. God designed the world to operate that way. It's a system, it's a program, right? It's a program. That when God created the earth, you know, he put man in the Garden of Eden to, you know, for a purpose. It was a project. The project that God intend to achieve, and it's a project. God only just, you know, do everything all at once. No, it's a project. But that project did not survive because man did not accept fully the commandments of God. So it's if you're listening to my voice today, it is time for you to start, you know, embracing the person of the Holy Spirit. If you have if you're in a difficult situation and you need answers, you need the Holy Spirit to help you. Is a personality. He engages us from time to time. You know, you see somebody just misbehaving and then doing things anyhow and all that, and then all of a sudden the person accepts Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that will educate you about the ways of the kingdom. There is a way to the kingdom. He can come and say, oh, that thing that you watched on your phone yesterday, stop watching it. It's a perception. It doesn't communicate like we humans. It doesn't just like speak to us like humans, like that, physically. But it's a perception. You can just come and say, he registers his displeasure, 100%. That's what the personality of the Holy Spirit is. If you keep going somewhere and the Spirit of God knows that place you are going to will destroy your soul, the Holy Spirit will come and will tell you that don't go to that place again. And it will give you reasons. It doesn't just say don't go. It will give you reasons why you should not go. So it's a perception. You see someone say, I just felt uneasy in my spirit not to keep company with this person again. And I just there's this, you know, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. There's a place of a human spirit, human mind. There's a place of the Holy Spirit. And the little knowledge I have about the things of God, I know how God speaks to me. So also you should know. Part time, you will know when the Holy Spirit engages you. Sometimes it can just arrest you for 5 minutes. Sometimes it may be 1 minute. Sometimes it may be for 10 minutes. He will be talking to me for 30 minutes. We are still talking. I'll be asking him questions. Asking him question. He'll be replying. He'll be responding. We'll be not physical talking. It's an engagement in this. For now, you lack words to explain spiritual things at this point. So, but if you truly want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, first you need to admit yourself in the ICU of God. You need to acknowledge that you are not capable of anything. You are not sufficient of your own. If you can do it, you would have done it a long time ago. But now you are stuck. So what is the solution to this? Is to come to the IC, intensive care unit of God. Without being admitted into the intensive care unit of God, then you are still sufficient of yourself. You can still you know, still throw some hands here and there. That means you are capable of solving your own problems. But if you are sure that you, it's like there are challenges here. I am stuck here. Okay, I need help at this point. You need to admit yourself into the ICU of God. And when you come into the ICU of God, there are different, you know, just like you walk into an hospital and you see some people on the bed and they have different things on their body and they have, you know, drip passing through, different injection. That's the way the kingdom operates, right? Because a human, you know, you have your own ways. You are set in your own ways. Now you are accepting an administration, right? So if you are set in your own ways and you are submitting yourself under the administration of God, there are different things. God knows what to infuse and what to put into the... There are different things that God will administer to you to help you, to make you what you should be. Because if God should give you the diary of what your life should be, in fact, you'll discover that maybe the job you're even doing, you should not be doing that job. It's another job that you'll serve better purpose to God than what you are currently doing. And the decision you've taken today is not, it might not even be in that diary itself that, you know, someone said it was designed to empower, he was called to be an encouragement to children. He has a children's ministry, you know, because he's good at that. But he's not doing that. He's doing some other things. But that is not in the diary of God. It's not even anywhere there. Because in the diary of God, there are certain things that God has, it is wired into our DNA. So if you are supposed to be a soldier and you find yourself on the pulpit teaching the word of God, ministering, or maybe perhaps you are a medical doctor, but you start find yourself working in a freight industry, or you know, those that are into shipments and all that, you find yourself as a sailor. That contradicts what is in the diary of God, right? So you need to, first thing to do is to admit yourself into the ICU of God, because there will be several check-ins that needs to be done. There are different things that God will need to, we need to administer to, you know, to set you straight, because you're already wired in your own way. But then if you admit yourself into the ICU of God, God will begin to administer some things, you know, to set you on the right path. That is the first thing to do if you want to walk with God. The second stage is to accept this treatment, because it's possible for someone to be diagnosed of an illness and the person denies, say, no, I don't have this sickness in my body. I've been keeping myself, eating the right food. You know, the person can bring all these strong reasons to the table, but they are saying that you need to accept this treatment. Otherwise, haven't you seen some people that the doctor will tell them, you need to rest at this point. You need to rest. If you don't rest, you die. And the person say, no, I don't feel tired. I still have to. And the doctor is saying, with what we've checked, you need to rest. But the person say, no, I don't want to rest. So there's a place of acceptance, right, of the things that God is going to administer into you. Because if you don't accept this, if there's no acceptance, then there's a problem. In the book of John chapter 15 in verse 2, John chapter 15 in verse 2, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, it taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring more fruit. So there is a treatment. You can't evade that treatment. You can't escape from the treatment. Because he knows you, he created you, so he knows what to administer. Maybe your life, maybe you're full, you're always anger all the time. It's anger. Haven't you seen some people, they say that's the angriest man in the street of Los Angeles. That's the angriest man. But God knows how to bring that anger, how to take away that anger. So, but there is a treatment. If you do not accept this treatment, there can be a solution. So you need to accept the treatment that God would administer to you. First is to admit yourself. Second is to accept that treatment. Then you can now continue. So the when this treatment are administered, then there must be compliance. You must be willing to do what he wants you to do. Then it begins to educate you about the ways of the kingdom, how the kingdom works, how it operates, how things are done, its regulation. It's just like a country. There are regulation, there are rules. You can't just wake up one day and break someone windscreen and then, or throw a stone at someone on the street. You can't do that because there are laws and there are regulations. You will be apprehended and thrown in prison and, you know, probably further checkups and some other things if you don't end up in rehab. So that is the way it is in the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom. It's a kingdom, right? And there are rules and regulations. So when you begin to respond to this treatment, and this treatment will only be done by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will be invited into, will come into your life and will start telling you that thing you said to that person yesterday, go and apologize. And you can bring all your reasons and the reason why you should not apologize. Maybe it's even your wife, and then you did something to her, or maybe it's your husband, you did something, or you spoke to you did something wrong, or you know, and then the Holy Spirit said, go and apologize. And you said, no, he did. In fact, the one he did to, this one I even did, was even, you can bring all your reasons why you should not apologize, but he's saying that's the way the kingdom operates. If you want to walk closer with God. So if you don't respond to treatment, you cannot be helped. The reason why people go to an hospital is not to tell the doctor what to do, it's for the doctor to tell them what to do. Is you can't go to another. Have you seen somebody who is arguing with the doctor that, no, I don't have this sickness in my body? No. You can't tell me. It's not possible. You go to an hospital because you want solution to your problem. You cannot tell the person that has a solution to your problem how you want to be treated. No. Okay? You can't tell the physician how you want to be treated. The physician knows the best way and will administer the best treatment. So also in the kingdom of God, God has a way of pruning us. He has a way of setting us straight, because we are already in our own ways. Our life is full of anger. Probably we fight, we steal, we abuse, we cause a lot of trouble. But then he knows the right treatment to give per time. Now, when this treatment starts coming, it's very important that you accept the treatment how it comes. In Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Let's read the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, in verse 8. It says, but if ye be without chastisements, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. If you refuse, because there is a place of refusal, and you're living in denial, you have a problem, and then he's saying that you have to do this, you have to do this. If you have a son in the house, and the son is not doing the right thing, does not behave well, and then you say, no, I'm going to discipline you, I'm going to do this. Those are treatments. You apply those treatments. I'm going to take away your toys. I'm going to do this. Those are treatments, right? To set that child straight. But if the child is still saying, no, you can't do that to me, you bring all the reasons, then the child cannot be helped. That's what we are saying here. So The third stage is to, when you have now accepted, then you continue. It's a narrow path. It's not convenient. It's not convenient. It's not going to be convenient, right? If you want to walk with God, it's not going to be convenient, because it's going to tell you that place that you went last week, don't go there again. This place that you, this movie, this channel or this movie that you're watching, don't watch it again. In fact, I want you to stay away from movies. So how is that convenient? But that is the way of the kingdom. That is the way of the kingdom. If you are ready to walk with God, the personality of God, I mean the Spirit of God, will guide you into all truth. It's not convenient, but I tell you, by the time you are done with this treatment, you will be energized, you will be strengthened, you will have, your soul will be saved. Your soul will be saved. And you will be encouraged and you'll be happy. Though it's a narrow path, it's a tight rope walking. Tight rope. So I want to encourage you today that you should consider walking with God, because that's the best thing, that's the best gift of life. Somebody can give you a car, can give you a house, can give you different things, but that does not profit your soul. What profits your soul is to accept Jesus Christ, is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you will be able to walk in the right path of God. You will be able to walk with God and your soul will be saved. I pray that as we comply to these things, God will help you and God will give you the grace to serve Him acceptably and to do His will and to fulfill your purpose in your life in Jesus' name. So this is the word of God today that has come to us, a closer walk with God. We've learned about the truth, which is the personality of God, and we've learned about the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. Nothing can be done without the help of the Holy Spirit. Nothing in the kingdom can be achieved without the help of the Holy Spirit. So if you are listening to my voice today and you are ready to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit, and you want God to walk with you, you need to repent today. I want to pray with you. And I want you first to say a prayer of confession within yourself. I want you to talk to God, to say, God, help me. Okay, Jesus Christ, help me. I know I am insufficient. I can't, without you, we are helpless. And forget about the person around you. This is a personal, the walk is a personal journey. It's in the school of God, you are the only student. The way you get educated is personal. Okay? What is peculiar to you is different from someone else. Okay? And what is happening in your life is different from someone else's situation. So you need to open your mouth and say a prayer of confession that, Jesus Christ, I'm so sorry. I'm so ignorant about the truth. Now I know and I'm willing to serve God. I'm willing to accept you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and personal Savior. Now, I want you to say this prayer of confession, accept the person of Jesus Christ, and accept the Holy Spirit to come into your life to walk with you. And as you do so, the Spirit of God is here and is listening to you, and then will help you to be able to walk with God from now on in Jesus' name. I will pray with you and I want you to believe that it is done. Let us pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We bless your name. Thank you for your mercy upon our lives. Thank you for your word that has come to us today. A closer walk with you. Lord, as many that are desiring to walk with you this day, I pray that you will show them mercy, O God, as they accept your only Son, Jesus Christ, who have come into the world to die for our sins, that we may be raised unto justification. Lord, I pray that you will forgive their sins and their trespasses in the name of Jesus Christ. Let every old of sin in their lives be broken, and you will give them the scepter of righteousness to be able to walk with you in truth and in spirit in Jesus' name. Let your Holy Spirit help them from now on as they begin to walk with you. I pray, oh God, that you give them the power to sin no more in Jesus' name. Give them the grace to continually follow you and to serve you to the very end in Jesus' name. Cleanse them from their sins in Jesus' name. Give them the power to sin no more in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for anointing done. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.